how that the disciples were persecuted and attacked by the religious crowd. And then you saw how that they had problems on the inside last week with the situation with Ananias and Sapphira, the problem of hypocrisy. And there's just some common things that you see in the scriptures that are relatable to us today. I mean, you see those same things. There's still pressure from without. There's still pressure even from within, and the church world, if you will, from all the different denominations and situations that are going on, and how that people are, you know, trying to jockey for position or steal converts or trying to do whatever they're trying to do, saying, you know, our denomination is above this one or that one, or it's true and the others are false, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, friend, we just need to stick with the Word of God, trust the truth, and it will get you to the place you need to be. So we're still in chapter number 5, as I said, and we're looking, if you will, at we got through verse number 11 last week, and as I said, talking about Ananias and Sapphira. We'll pick up in verse number 12, if you will, with us. Verse number 12. And the Bible said, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.' And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.' And when the high priest and the captain of the temple of the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow." Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for another evening. Thank you for this time to be here. Thank you for your word. I pray now you just open that to our hearts and speak to our souls tonight. Just give us the insight and the understanding, the wisdom, everything we need to know out of the Word of God tonight, something that will strengthen us and just point us in the direction of you. Just give us your grace and your mercy now and help us with everything that we do, and we will thank you. We'll certainly praise you in everything that goes on. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, Let's look, if you will, tonight at these few verses and think on this thought, if you will. The church sees another persecution. The church sees another persecution. As I said, we've already seen one when Peter and John were called in before the council, and they had to give an answer about the man that was healed, that was sitting by the beautiful gate, the man that was lame for the entirety of his life, and they were called on to give an account, and you know, the idea about what authority, what power, how did you do this, why did you do this, all of that. Then they were admonished, they were strictly charged not to preach and teach anymore in the name of Jesus. So you know what they did? They went back to their own company after they got discharged from that situation. They prayed and they went out and they kept on preaching and they kept on teaching in the name of Jesus. So they just decided that they were going to follow God. They were going to do what God said rather than the dictates and the directions of men. And I'm telling you, that's a precedent for me and you. I mean, it's certainly a precedent from a long time ago, nearly 2,000 years, but it's still a precedent for me and you today to realize we had better listen to God rather than the things of men. So That's what was going on then. Well, here, as I say, you see in chapter 5, the beginning of it, there's Ananias and Sapphira, and you see the situation that they're in and all that that brings upon the church. And really, through every one of these persecutions, all it really does is bring a place to the church and to the people of the church where it has strengthened everybody. It has brought some strength in on every side. I mean, when they got persecuted by the Sanhedrin, when the council got after them, they came back, they prayed, they got stronger. And then Ananias and Sapphira, the situation happened with them. They prayed and they stuck together and they reasoned those things out, and the church got stronger and increased. So really, the part of the lesson of this whole thing for us in the book of Acts is this: when persecutions come, just stay with God and you'll see some strength, you'll see some gain, you'll see some positive things happen in the church. So just stay with God. Don't get off on some tangent and say, well, you know, this is not what we need. This is not going to work. And this is something so and so. Hey, just stay with God and you'll see that He can work all things out. So let's look at tonight and see what the Bible tells us here about the church seeing another persecution. First of all, I want you to notice this. And you begin to look there in verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. As you begin to look at those verses, you see that the church... And you notice within the church the cooperation among the members and the operation of the body. You see the cooperation that there is among the members, and you see the operation of how the church is working. Listen to what it says. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added the more to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So I want you to notice some things that you notice here about the church and the way there is cooperation and there is an operation. The church is a working, functioning body of Christ. I mean, that's what you see here. Here they are, and things are going good. Things are happening again. And that's the idea. And that's the part we all like, isn't it? I mean, when everything goes good in church, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we're all great. Man, everything's going good. But I want you to beware of this. When things go well, look out, because something else is right around the corner, okay? Always be aware of that there's something else. But what I want you to see here, look at this, if you will, as I say about the cooperation and the operation here within this church. First of all, I want you to notice the place that it says they're meeting. Now, if you'll notice, it says here that there were many signs and wonders and all these things that happened among the people. Look what it says in that little parenthetical part in your Bible. It said verses 12 and 13 and 14. There's a little parenthesis, and it starts out in the parentheses. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself unto them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. I want you to notice something about that place. Do you notice this, first of all, that the Bible speaks of them gathering in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch. To me and you, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it might signify to me and you an area, and you'd say, well, okay, that's probably the area of the temple. It was an area of the temple. It was an area of the temple that had been built. But Solomon's porch, according to historians, is about the size of 4 football fields. Okay, about the size of 4 football fields. If you can imagine that, you've got an area that is, as I say, 4 football fields. I mean, football field's 100 yards. You got 400 yards by about 50 wide. Hey, you got a pretty good sized place for them to meet. And it would be no problem. If you remember when we got started with this in Acts chapter number 2, there were about 3,000 folks that got saved. Now the Bible says that the Lord's adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And you see those hints and those parts of that come out. Here, you've got a crowd is what I'm saying. You you've got a crowd of believers that are there meeting at Solomon's temple, or actually in that day it's Herod's temple, but they're meeting at the temple where the people of God are. Here they are meeting, and I mean there's several thousands of them gathered together, hearing Peter preach, hearing the other apostles preach. They're there getting in on the ministry of what's going on with the church. And they're there in Jerusalem. So what I'm saying is this is setting the stage. This is setting a precedent for them to know. I mean, you've got a crowd. And you've got them preaching about Jesus and the resurrection and giving glory to God. And I mean, they're all getting wound up. But you know what? The Jewish people that are the otherwise, if you will, they're not believers in Christ, they're hearing it, but you get this idea. Hey, the main religious leaders ain't liking it. Okay? They're not like, but I mean, here's this crowd, and this is the place they've got to meet. Everybody knows where it's at. Everybody goes there. Everybody's there. So they've got a place. Okay? And they're coming together, and the Bible tells you right here when they're coming together, it said they were all with one accord. I mean, it just says that in the beginning of that parenthesis, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They're all in one accord. I mean, these people have gotten together. They're not afraid. They're not ashamed. They're not backing up. They're not backing down. They're just meeting and having worship of the Lord Jesus. But again, remember, this is going to do something. This is going to cause something. This is going to, it's going to be a problem. But you know what? They don't care. Can I tell you, we ought to be like that today. I mean, the world will come in and say, well, y'all just have church, but don't get too carried away with it. We can't help but get carried away with what we've got, because thank God, it's something different than what this world has got, right? Something different than what the world's got. So first of all, you just notice the place. Second of all, I want you to notice the people. I want to tell you this. If you look at this, it says at the very end of verse number 14, and believers were added the more to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Let me tell you this. This is the first time that Luke mentions women as part of the body of the church. First time. You'll notice that. It's not the last time. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. Women become very important in the work of the Lord. Women, as a matter of fact, when Paul and Silas get started and they go over into the different areas, some of the first folks that they come to as they're preaching and ministering, it's women. You remember they're meeting out by the riverside, and it says that there's a lady named Lydia that comes to them, and she brings another group of women, and those women hear the gospel, they get saved. Lydia takes them home with her. She feeds them. She helps them. She ministers to their financial and physical needs while they are there. And God begins to bless and open up the doors, and the church begins to grow even more so. So what I'm saying is, ladies, remember this. Ladies, you are an important, integral part of the work of God. Amen? And, you know, I believe that. I don't know where the church would be today without women. Amen? There'd be a lot of churches be hurting. There'd be in a lot of trouble if you didn't have women. But I'm glad the Bible says here that it mentions that. That, as I say, this is the first time you see, really, that Luke mentions that. But I believe it's the Holy Ghost is kind of nudging. Hey, put this in there, Luke. Put it in and talk about. He said men and women. So the church. But not only notice that about the people. Notice this also about some people. Look what it says. It says there were a lot of, by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Okay? You see, the people are seeing everything that the apostles are doing. They're seeing. Now, when I say people, I'm talking about the saved people and the lost people, the Jewish people, those that are there. They're all seeing these things done. This is not just saying the church people see this done. This is saying that all the people are seeing this stuff done. Okay? Now, keep this in mind. Here's all the people that are seeing these things done. And notice what it says. And it begins to tell us, it says, and then, you know, it says they were all with one accord in Solomon's temple. But look what it says in verse 13, real interesting. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Okay, and you say, well, what does that mean? What it means is this. They just didn't have some casual joiners to the church. You know how we are in our day? Some people come in the church sometime and they say, well, I won't join the church. And I mean, you don't know if they've ever made a profession of faith. You don't know if they're saved. You don't know. There's some people that just like to join church because they want to be part of the group. You know, they want to be part of the gang. They want to be part of those and say, well, you know, I'm a member of that church. Listen, the Bible says here, nobody. They saw them. They were around them. But they just didn't say, well, just any of y'all want to join up? Come on. And there was a lot of guys that said, I can't join it. They were amazed at them. They were in wonder. They stood in awe. They realized God was doing something. They didn't know what to absolutely think about it, but they wasn't going to go join themselves to it and just say, well, I'm part of that bunch. I mean, they just didn't know what to do. They did not know how. Brother, I don't tell you. Hey, people ought to have some respect and some sense about joining the church. Yeah, not just anything and anybody. If some people come in, boy, they just want to join the church. I want to go get baptized. I want to get part of the church. Hey, I'm telling you, you better get saved. Because look what it says there in verse number 14. It says this, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Not just to the church. They wasn't nobody just joining the church, but there's a lot of folks getting saved and believing in Jesus. That's what joined them to the church, when they trusted Christ. So I'm telling you, look at the people, and it's not just a collection of, well, let's jump on the bandwagon. You know, there's a lot of folks like that. Hey, a lot of folks, boy, when your sports team's doing good, you know what to, well, I'm a fan now, you know, today, this time, as long as they're winning, well, I'm part of the, hey, I'm a part of this political party because they're doing good and I'm just going to follow them. You know, there's people that jump on the bandwagon. They wasn't jumping on the bandwagon here. They had too much fear of God. When they saw what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible said there was some fear that went into those people. And if you'll notice this, it says that there's these people that have joined, and it says that at the end of verse 13, no man joined himself to them. I mean, they were around them. They didn't join. But the people magnified them. Now, that's generally talking about not the saved folks, but the other folks. They wasn't joined up with them. They wasn't part of them, but they knew something was going on. And they knew it was different. They knew it was different than that bunch of Sadducees that sat on the council. They knew it was different than that religious crowd. They knew there was something going on. Brother, isn't that a wonderful thing when you know something's going on? You can get around people and you say, well, you know, they're not real educated. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of fame. Their name's not out everywhere. But thank God they know the Lord. That's what counts. That's what makes a difference. So that's what's going on in this particular time. Okay? And you see that cooperation among themselves, and you see the operation of these folks, or the body of Christ in this, and more than anything, you see the place they're in, you see the people that are there, and you see the power that they have. I mean, people understand that, as I say, there's something going on. And it said believers were added, the more added, to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And it says, look, here's what's going on. Notice the power. In so much, now, verse 15 doesn't join into verses, part of verse 12, 13, 14, just parenthetical. But look, just read verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And then jump to verse 15. In so much, now there was so much going on. There were so many signs and wonders that were going on among everybody there. In so much that people would bring, they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I mean, these people had enough confidence in Peter and the other apostles that they pull their sick folks out from their house, laid them on the sidewalk, if you will, or by the roadside, and they said, man, if Peter will just pass down through here, if his shadow will fall on them, they'll be healed of whatever disease they've got. Now, you know, some of the theologians say, well, that doesn't absolutely say that it was the shadow of Peter. Well, it's not the shadow of Peter. It's just the power of the Lord that healed them, okay? I want you to understand that. It's the power of God that did it. And it said that there came out a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing their sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirit. And it says, and they were healed, every one. In other words, there was enough power there to do the job. The power of God was there. I mean, as I say, man, look at this church. They're cooperating with each other. They've got the attention of the people in the area around about them, and they got the power of God on them. It's working. It's operating. As the Lord Jesus said, if you'll stay here, be endued with power, and wait till I come and bring the power of God on you. He said, then you're going to go forth, and you're going to do some things. Now, I want you to get this. Remember here in the very first part of verse number 12, what it says about that. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Okay? What I want you to understand about that is it wasn't signs and wonders that were saving people. Okay? All that did was draw some attention to who the Lord was and to the ministry that was going on and to the church that was growing and forming at that time. That's all those things did. There was nothing about those signs, nothing about those miraculous wonders, nothing about them that saved anybody. All that did was bring attention to what they were having to say. Okay? It just brought, but it certainly gave them an opportunity to demonstrate the power of the living God. All right? So, as I say, here you see this in the beginning. Here's the operation of all this stuff going on in this church. But I want you to notice that with that operation, with that cooperation, second of all, I want you to notice that there is some opposition that comes to this church. And it comes from the religious leaders. There's an opposition. Well, why is there opposition? Well, look in verse number 17. And all this stuff's going on. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. You see that? They were filled with indignation. How dare they? I mean, that's what they're saying. They can't do that. They shouldn't be behaving like that. They shouldn't be out causing a ruckus like that. I mean, can you hear them now? That's what they're saying. That's what this is all about. You know what that is more than anything? It is hypocritical jealousy. I want you to notice the jealousy. You say, well, preacher, what are they jealous about? Well, there's some little hidden things in here, if you'll notice this. What do you mean you're thinking? What's Peter preaching on? You go back and look and see what Peter's preaching on. What's he preaching on? More than anything, he's preaching about the name of Jesus, right? He's preaching about Jesus, and rightfully so. But what does he say about Jesus? He says, he died, and y'all killed him, to the religious crowd. Y'all killed him. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen? You know what? They didn't like that. As a matter of fact, Luke tells you right here. He said, the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, and look, in that little inset that he puts in parentheses again, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Now, you got to remember, one of the main tenets of the Sadducees is this. Go back and read when Jesus runs into them. And it said the Sadducees ask him the story, the question about the man that had a wife and he died. And he married her brothers, and none of them had a child with her. And at the end of seven brothers, they said, now whose wife will she be in the resurrection? You know what that question was all about? The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They were just trying to find some question to trip Jesus. Well, you know the story Jesus tells them. He says, you do err not understanding the scripture. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. Okay, what's Peter been preaching about? The resurrection of Jesus. Where's he preaching it? Right there beside where they meet every day. And the crowd's getting bigger. People are getting saved. And the Jewish temple, their numbers are dwindling. So what's going on? They're getting jealous. Isn't that amazing? But that's what happens. I mean, somebody will get jealous when you start doing something for God and they ain't hitting a lick at a snake. They ain't doing nothing for you. They're doing all. They get jealous. I mean, what have they done? You see the religious hatred that comes on. You know what they're mad at? People are getting saved and they're mad. People are getting healed from their diseases and they're mad. Does that make sense? No. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what's going on. That's what's happening right before their very eyes. And you know what? They ain't part of it. It's not involved. As a matter of fact, I don't see where they've even tried to get involved with any of that. But they're mad about it. They're upset about it. They're jealous about it. Then the high priest rose up. I mean, as I say, they're right outside his door. They're out there having a meeting. Peter's up there preaching, resurrection, y'all, resurrection. Jesus resurrected. They ain't liking that. And then all of them that were with him, which they say is the sect of the Sadducees, all those, that crowd, and they were all filled with indignation. They all were just puffed up and jealous. And look what it says. I mean, you see the jealousy, but look at this. They put them in jail. It said they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. I mean, they jail them like Andy Griffith does Otis. Amen? I mean, they just grabbed them and put them in jail just because they could, right? Just because they could. Well, I know Otis sometimes, he'd go and lock the door and get in there himself. But, I mean, that's just what this was like. They said, we're going to put you in the common jail. These men were treated like common criminals. They were treated like common felons. They were treated with all common. They were put into the public jail. They showed up there, and there they were. I mean, boy, these guys really were filled with themselves, weren't they? The religious leaders, I mean, they put them into the common prison. They said, this will take care of them. We just got that all taken care of. They thought they did anyway, didn't they? It said, they laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. Look at verse number 19. God butts in again. But, it says, the angel of the Lord, it says, by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. Do you see that? You've got this crazy thing. I mean, you've got them jailed, but thank God, aren't you glad for that? Next is a jailbreak. There's a jailbreak. Hey, they're breaking out of jail. Isn't that amazing? God just, he just has a habit of that. Peter gets out of jail here. Y'all remember that? Okay. And a little bit later on, you're going to see Peter gets out of jail again with the Holy Ghost. Hey, what happened? Paul and Silas, they got thrown in prison, but they got out. God broke them out of jail around there. I'm telling you, every time, and there was several time after time, you read in the life of Paul, they were planning on jumping him, putting him in jail. And God always made a way of escape for his man. I'm just telling you, God's good at this jailbreak stuff, ain't he? Amen? I mean, you can get him in there, but he get him out. It don't matter. Yeah, he come out of the tomb too. I mean, he good to all them jails. Amen? I mean, the devil said, well, I'll just put him in the jail cell of death. And Jesus said, but I'm getting out of there too. As a matter of fact, what did he say in the book of Revelation in chapter number 1? He said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. He said, and I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The devil ain't even got the keys to prison no more, does he? Amen. The Lord Jesus breaks them out of jail every time. The angel of the Lord has come down here and opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, go and preach. Boy, do you see how and now listen to this. This is another good part. Okay? You know what else the Sadducees don't believe in? They don't believe in angels. So the Lord said, well, let's just fix that for them. They don't believe in the resurrection? We're going to preach about the resurrection right outside their door. Hey, they don't believe in angels? I'm going to send an angel down there to get Peter out of jail. And the other apostle. Get him out. Who did that? The angels. Sadducees, we don't believe in angels. Well, ain't that amazing? Them guys are not in jail, and you don't see them. How'd they get out? Angels got them out. We don't believe in angels. Okay, well, you figure out how they got out then. They crawled under the floor. I don't know what they done, but y'all don't know. Hey, the testimony is the angel of the Lord got them out. And he did so. God did this as an act deliberately. It was done deliberately. God did it deliberately by a miracle. I mean, there was an intention behind it. I believe God had it planned. Let them go in jail, and I'm going to get them out. Amen? It was done deliberately by a miracle, and then it was done designed so that they could go out and show the Sadducees about the angelic deliverance and that they were still able to minister the Word of God. Do you see that? Now, if this had been me and you, and we got jailbroke, what's going to happen? We'd probably try to run and hide, right? Run and hide. But what happens here? The angel says, sets them free. Verse 20, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hey, that's what they got put in jail for. But the angel said, just go back there anyway. It don't matter. And it said, when they heard that, they entered in the temple early in the morning and talked. Okay. So they went back where they came from. They're right outside the door. Right outside. They're out there preaching again. They're out there holding meetings. Isn't that amazing how God works through all of those things? But as I said, this was done deliberately and designed particularly for this situation by the Lord. So you notice that, all right? So you see the opposition by these religious people. Last of all, let's look at the vindication that is given to them, to the apostles, and it comes by the hand of the Lord. Notice that. If you'll notice in verses 21, the last part of it, again, it says, but the high priest came, they that were with him, and they called the council together, all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay, we're going to see them men this morning. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. All right, they're right outside the door, boys. Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple heard the priests and the chief of the priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They are left scratching their heads. You see that? First of all, I want you to see the actions. You see the actions of the apostles. The apostles get up and they go preach the Word of God. I mean, as it said, they entered in the temple early and they taught. They did what the angel told them to do. They went back down to the scene of the crime. Amen? And you know what they did? They just kept on doing what they'd been doing. They didn't let up. They didn't give up. They didn't give out and didn't give in. They just kept on preaching the Word of God. They kept on doing what they'd been doing. You see those people's action. But then, isn't it amazing when you see the announcement that these officers gave to the religious leaders? They said, we're meeting in council. Everybody gather together. They all gather together. Imagine. Now realize, this is the same way that they convicted Jesus. They had him put in jail overnight. And then they got together the next morning and they brought him before them. And there's where they tried him in their mock trial, if you will, and convicted him of blasphemy and decided that he was worthy of death. That's the way that went. Same thing. So now they've got Peter and John and all this other crowd, the other apostles. They've got them all together, and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to pull them out. They're going to get on them. They're going to, you know, really put the low down on them. They're really going to speak to them plainly, harshly, and judge them. And so they're getting ready to do that. And when they got all together, it said they sent to the prison, have them brought. But when those officers went to the prison, they couldn't find nobody. They said, "We, the prison truly found with all safety. Prison was shut up. The keepers standing without before the doors. But when we opened, they said we found no man within." I mean, that's a tough thing to give an account of. That's a hard thing to see. But they had to give that account. There's nobody there. And then notice, if you will, the anxiety of those religious leaders. It says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. I mean, they are sitting there, as I said, scratching their heads. And it said they doubted. What it means is they couldn't figure out where this thing was going. How has this happened? Why has this happened? And where is this thing going to lead to? Now, again, you've got some guys, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels. They really don't believe in miracles. And guess what's happened? Every one of those things has happened right in their presence. And they don't know what to make of it. And look, if you can't convince somebody, you can't convince somebody with some of these kind of things, then you'll never be able to convince them of very much of anything. If a man won't take what he's seeing right there in front of him and believe from that, but you know what? They couldn't say anything against it. Because the proof is right there before their eyes as they're standing. I mean, they could look out the door, go over to the door, the side door of the temple, look out there on Solomon's porch, and there they are. How did that happen? It's a miracle. We don't believe in miracles, okay, but it happened. An angel came. We don't believe in angels. Well, an angel came and got us out in a miraculous way. We don't believe in any of that. But they're sitting there saying, how did this happen? How's this going to go? I mean, they are left with an anxiety of trying to explain something that they don't believe in. Do you know what? The world's in the same quandary today. They're in the same quandary. How come them Christian folks is so stinking happy? They're in the same COVID mess we're in. They're in the same economic straits that we're in. They're in the same political mess that we're in. How in the world can they be so happy with what's going on? Brother, if you'll just let yourself rejoice in the Lord, if you'll just let yourself realize that you're His and you don't have to be all dug down deep and involved in all those other things that are going on, thank God you can be like Him. You just go on your merry way and do what God said do. He'll bless you and take care of you, and it don't matter what's happening with the rest of them. Amen? I mean, you and these guys can't figure it out. It said they doubted. They were trying to figure in their minds where this is going. Now, we're going to see more next week as you get into it, because, as I said, you're not going to convince them. The Sanhedrin, these Sadducees, they're not going to be convinced. They are still right in their own way of thinking. We're still right. We're still doing the right thing. We're still right. Amen? Y'all remember Brother Dana when he was preaching about and saying that, you know, you can be doing a right thing, but you can still be wrong. Well, that's exactly what these guys are. They're trying to do what they think is the right thing. We're serving God. We're going to the temple. We're trying to get rid of these rabble-rousers. We're trying to straighten everything and everybody out. But you know what? They're dotting every I, crossing every T. They're doing everything they think is right, but they're doing it and it's wrong. And the Lord keeps trying to show them, but they just will not open their eyes. They just won't open their eyes. And if they ever do, and some of them do, I won't say all of them don't, but some of them do, and they finally, some of them realize that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That's a tough lesson for them to learn. And notice, we'll get to it next week, verse 42, and daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They just kept on going with what they had. Amen? They kept on going. All right. Well, get you a songbook, if you will, and let's turn to page number 81. Turn to page 81. We'll sing a verse of Just As I Am. If you'll stand with us tonight, maybe you're there at home watching on Facebook, and you're just trying to figure out what to do with your life, what you can do, what you should do. Well, we're going to sing a verse of Just As I Am. If you need to come pray about something, if you need to take care of some business in your own heart and life, if you'll do that tonight, hey, if you're there, wherever you are, if you're here, let's sing. Just